This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة المتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد باب وجوب الانقياد لحكم الله تعالى وما يقوله من دعي إلى ذلك وأمر بمعروف أو نهي عن منكر قال الله تعالى فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما وقال تعالى إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون وقال تعالى وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا. This is the 17th chapter of the book Riyadu Salihin, titled Wujubu al-Inqiyad li-Hukm Allah Ta'ala. It is wajib, compulsory, obligatory to submit yourself to the hukm, to the commandment and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, ma yaquluhu man du'iya ila thalik. What is permissible for the person who is called to the hukm of Allah, to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or someone who is enjoined good, someone who is advised to do good, or someone who is advised to stay away from sin or from evil. What is permissible and what should the person say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. By your Lord, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they cannot be true believers, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, until they accept you as a judge in the matters of their dispute. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا. And after accepting you as a judge in the matter of their dispute, they do not find any kind of resistance within their hearts. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they submit their wills completely, with full submission. And this is one of those ayat that establish the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is one of those ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the oath of himself. Fala wa rabbik. We find in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the oath of different things. The time such as wal fajr, by the time of dawn, wal asr, the time of asr, or the time wal layl, by the night. وَالشَّمْسِ, by the sun, and وَالتِّين, وَالزَّيْتُون, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by the fig and olive, وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ, وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, Allah has taken the oath of the day of judgment. And when it comes to this particular matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the oath of himself. And he said, وَرَبِّكَ, by your Lord, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Rabb of the whole mankind, all the universe, or all the worlds. But he has taken the oath by saying, Rabbik, your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath of something, the scholars have said, after that, what is mentioned is something that is great, something that has great significance. And especially when Allah has taken the oath of himself, it means that the statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned after that, it is the greatest statement, you can say. So what is the statement? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the oath of? He said, لا يؤمنون. They cannot believe. They cannot be true believers. Those who claim that they believe in you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make it clear to them that they cannot be called believers until and unless yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum, they accept you as a judge in the matters of their dispute. If they had dispute amongst themselves in any matter, and particularly with regards to the matter of the deen, they accept your decision. And unless and until they accept your decision, they cannot be called mu'min or believers. And it is not only for them to accept your decision or your commandment or your judgment, rather, لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا. They must accept your decision out of their free will, willingly, happily, and they do not find any kind of resistance in their heart. That is why the scholars have said, if someone accepts the commandment of Rasulullah ﷺ, the decision or the judgment of Rasulullah ﷺ, but his heart is not content with it, then the person has weakness, serious problem in his iman. Because you must accept the decision and the judgment and the hukm and the commandment and the order of Rasulullah ﷺ willingly, happily. And you must not find any kind of resistance within your heart. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they must submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fully and completely. So this is one of those ayat that establish the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the believers. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Verily, the statement of the believers when they are called to Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the judgment or for any decision, their statement should be, أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. They must say, we heard and we obeyed. We heard the commandment of Rasulullah, we heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we heard the commandment of Allah dhul jalal ikram, and straight away we submit ourselves and we obey Allah and we obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa ulaika humul muflihun, Allah says, such people are those who are going to be successful. And this is the ayah from Surah An-Nur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a few ayat before this ayah the behavior and the attitude of the hypocrites and the munafiqeen. Allah says, وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ وَأَطَعْنَا. The hypocrites and the munafiqeen are those who say, they utter this statement saying, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ. We believe in Allah and we believe in the Messenger. وَأَطَعْنَا, and we obey Allah and we obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is their claim. ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Then after making this claim, they do not stand by this claim. Rather, they turn away from the commandment of Allah and they do not actually obey Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. And whenever they are called to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the judgment, they do not accept the judgment of Allah or the judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Rather, a group amongst the munafiqun, amongst the hypocrites, they turn away from the Quran and from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنْ يَكُلْ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ يَأْتُوا إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ. But on the other hand, the attitude towards the commandment of Allah or the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in other words, the attitude towards the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, إِنْ يَكُلْ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ يَأْتُوا إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ. If they find something within the Quran or the Sunnah in their favor, they say, yes, we completely submit ourselves to the commandment of Allah. يَأْتُوا إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ. They come running to the Quran and the Sunnah when they find something in their favor. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أفي قلوبهم مرض أم ارتابوا أم يخافون أن يحيف الله عليهم ورسوله؟ Do they have any kind of illness or disease in their heart? Or they have a doubt that Allah and His Messenger are going to oppress them and they are not going to be fair and just to them? بَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ The reality is that these hypocrites and munafiqoon, they themselves are the zalims. They themselves are the oppressors. They oppress themselves. They are the wrongdoers. They wrong themselves. They are not going to harm Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the attitude of the munafiqeen that Allah mentioned in Surah An-Nur. And straight after that Allah says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ As opposed to the munafiqoon, you have true believers. Whenever they hear the ayah of the Quran or the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, straight away they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا We hear and we obey. That's it. And unfortunately nowadays, we find many Muslims say after the wisdom, and this is a very common word. What is the wisdom behind this statement? What is the wisdom? What is the reason? For example, nowadays, it's a common, you must have heard the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he alayhi salatu wa sallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ وَأَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُضَحِيَ فَلَا يَأْخُذَنَّ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَلَا مِنْ أَظْفَارِهِ شَيْئًا As soon as the month of the Hijjah starts and one of you intends to offer the Qurbani or Udhiyya, then he must refrain from clipping the nails and cutting the hair. A clear hadith. The instruction of Rasulullah ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ has forbidden. But you find people saying, what is the reason? What if this, thus? What is the reason? It is probably the intention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to encourage the believers to try to follow the way of the hujjaj, those who are performing hajj. Because when the haji is in the state of ihram, he's not allowed to cut the nail, clip the nails or cut the hair. So for those who cannot go for hajj, they can at least try to emulate them. So this way they get the reward. But is this what Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? No. This is not the reason. Can be Allah alam. But it does not mean that if you don't understand the reason, you neglect or reject the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you also find people saying, you know, this is the prohibition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is haram or it is makruh. Yes, we do have these terms within the subject of fiqh, something which is haram, and then you have makruh, within makruh you have makruh tanzihi, makruh tahrimi, or then other things. You have all these terms. But all these terms are basically to define the ruling, different kind of rulings. It is not for you to find the way out or try to escape from the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the companions Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in heard this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did they ever ask, O Messenger of Allah, is it haram for us to clip the nail or cut the hair, or it is just disliked? They never asked this question. So do not take these fiqhi terms as an excuse to escape from acting upon the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, the actual sign of your iman is that as soon as you hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you submit yourself to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you act upon it. Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا It does not befit a believing man or believing woman that when Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have made the judgment or the decision on something, that they have any option to act upon it or to ignore it. They do not have any option. Rather, the believer must accept it. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ And whoever does not accept the judgment of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one who actually disobeys Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such people are those, dhalla dhalala mubina, they are in clear misguidance. So this is what Imam al-Nabawi rahimahullah wanted to establish in this chapter, wujubul inqiyadi li hukmillah. It is wajib to submit yourself to the commandment of Allah, dhul jalali wal ikram, and to act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this chapter, he has quoted only one hadith. And this is a hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, lamma nazalat ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayah number 283 in Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah says, lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever is on the heavens and on this earth. Wa in tubdu ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfuhu yuhasibkum bihi Allah. And if you reveal whatever you have within yourself, or you conceal it, yuhasibkum bihi Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you to account with regards to every single thing that you reveal or conceal within your heart. Yuhasibkum bihi Allah. Allah will hold you to an account. Ishtadda dhalika ala ashabi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this ayah was revealed, it became very hard and severe upon the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma baraku ala rukab. They sat before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on their knees. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, kullifna min al-a'mali ma nutiq. We have been obliged to do certain actions that are within our capacity, within our power, such as salah, establishing five daily prayers, fasting, jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving in charity. All these actions are within our capacity. These are the things that we can do, we are able to do. وَقَدْ أُنزِلَتْ عَلَيْكَ هَذِي الْآيَةِ. Now this ayah has been revealed upon you, O Messenger of Allah. وَلَا نُطِيقُهَا. We cannot bear it. How are we going to be held to be accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the thing that we conceal? Meaning, actually this ayah refers to even the thoughts that you have in your mind. Although, sometimes you have evil or bad thoughts, probably about Allah, about Quran, about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or sometime you hear the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you know that this is something that is compulsory and wajib. Your heart does not want to accept it, but you still do it. And this is something that you keep within your heart. You do not tell anyone that, you know, this is difficult for me. But you do it because you accept the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this ayah refers to these kind of actions. You know, those thoughts that you have in your mind that Allah says that you will be held to account, you will be held accountable before Allah dhul jalali ikram with regards to these actions, whatever you reveal and whatever you conceal. The companion said, O Messenger of Allah, this is something that is beyond our control. We cannot control our thoughts. So it is very difficult. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابَيْنِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you people want to say similar to what the people of the book, the people of two books before you said, referring to Jews and Christians, those who were given Torah and Injil. Do you people want to say what those people said? What did they say? سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. They used to say, yes, we have heard Allah's commandment, we have heard Messenger's commandment, وَعَصَيْنَا, but we cannot obey, we cannot accept. So this was their attitude and their behavior towards Allah and His Messenger, عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Do you people want to act like those people? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually advised them not to raise any kind of question when they hear the commandment of Allah. And this should be the attitude of the believers. Whether it makes sense to you or it does not make sense, whether your heart accepts or does not accept, you must act upon it. Whether you understand the reason or you don't understand the reason, whether you know the wisdom or you do not know the wisdom behind that, behind any commandment, you must act upon the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied this to his companions, and straight away they said, "Sami'na wa ata'na." O Messenger of Allah, we do not say "Sami'na wa asayna." We have heard and we disobeyed. No, rather we say "Sami'na wa ata'na." We hear and we obey. "Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir." But at the same time, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for those things that are beyond our capacity and our control. "Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir." Our Lord, we are going to return to you, so we expect you to forgive us our shortcomings. So this is what companions Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een said. "Falamma qatara ahl al-qawm." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised them to say this, and they said, "فَلَمَّا اقْتَرَ أَهْلُ الْقَوْمِ وَذَلَّتْ بِهَا أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ." So Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala says, when those companions Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, they used to saying upon every single commandment of Allah, as soon as they would hear any hukm, any order, any commandment, any instruction from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would say, "Sami'na wa ata'na." We hear and we obey. We hear, we obey. We hear, we obey. So when they got this habit of saying upon every single commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Anzal Allahu fi ithriha," then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the next ayah that is after that. And this is the ayah 284 of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah says, "Amana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun." The Rasul, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first and foremost, he himself has believed whatever has been revealed to him from his Lord. And the believers have also believed in whatever has been revealed to Allah, whatever has been revealed to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. "Kullun amana billah." All messenger and the believers, all of them, they believe in Allah, they believe in the malaika, in the angels and the kutub and the divine books, wa rusulihi, and the messengers of Allah. "La nufarriqu bayna ahadin minhum," and they do not make any distinction between any of Allah's prophets and messengers. "Waqalu sami'na wa ata'na," and they say that we hear and we obey. "Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir," O our Lord, forgive us our shortcomings and we are going to return to you. "Falamma fa'alu dhalik," and when they did this upon every single statement and every single commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had adopted this habit of saying "Sami'na wa ata'na," "Sami'na wa ata'na," then Allah revealed the next ayah. "La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden anyone beyond their capacity more than what they can bear. So Allah does not bear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not place burden or not does not burden anyone beyond their capacity, beyond what they can bear. And then Allah says, "Laha ma kasabat wa alayha maktasabat." For every single soul is, in terms of the reward, they will get whatever they do in terms of good deeds. "Wa alayha maktasabat," and they will get the punishment for whatever sin they commit. And then Allah says, the believers are those who always say, "Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana." Our Lord, do not hold us to account if we forget or if we make a mistake. Wallah, do not hold us to account. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a believer says this, "Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana," our Lord, do not hold us to account if we forget or if we make a mistake, Allah says, "Na'am," yes, meaning I do accept your dua. I'm not going to hold to account if you forget or if you make a mistake. And there's difference between khata and dhamb or ithm. There are different words that are used in Arabic. Dhamb, ithm, ma'asiyah, khata, different words. And they are basically, they all indicate different levels of sinning. Different levels of sinning. And khata is probably the lowest one. That's something you know it was not right, but you still did it. And at the same time, you have ill feeling within your heart. And within your heart, you feel that you have done something wrong. And you do not try to justify it. This is very important. That you make a mistake and you do not try to justify. Rather, you accept and you acknowledge that you have done something wrong. And for this, there is high chance for you that you will be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. As long as you acknowledge your mistake and you ask Allah for His forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. That is why Allah said, when a believer says, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا, or our Lord, do not hold us to account if we forget or if we make a mistake, Allah says, na'am, yes, I will not hold you to account if you forget or if you make a mistake. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Our Lord, do not lay any burden upon us the way you laid burden on those who were before us. And the scholars have said in the tafsir of this ayah, as an example, that it is Allah's mercy upon the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he, Dhul Jalal Ikram, made the deen easy for them. As Rasulullah sallallahu said, Ad-deenu yusr. And they have given many examples. For one of them is, when it comes to offering the prayer, although we find establishing 5 daily prayers, it is something that is very difficult. But within this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you many concessions. So if you are traveling, you do not have to pray the sunnah. If you are traveling, you do not have to pray the complete salah, rather you can shorten. If you are traveling, you can even combine. If you are ill, you cannot stand in your salah, you can offer the salah while sitting. If you cannot sit, rather you are on the bed, you can still offer the salah. If you do not find a water for wudu, you can do tayammum. So there are many concessions. And on top of all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this whole land, this whole earth, permissible for the believer, for the followers of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to offer their prayer wherever they are, except certain places where you cannot offer salah, such as toilet area or in the graveyard or these kind of things. Other than that, the whole earth, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, "Utitu khamsan lam yu'tahunna ahadun qabli." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me 5 special things that Allah did not give to any of the prophets before me. And one of them is that ju'ilat liya al-ardu masjidan wa tahura. This whole earth has been made masjid for me and my ummah. Masjid means place of worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed it. And this was not permissible for the previous nation. For Christians and Jews, it was not permissible for them to offer their prayer except within the place of worship, within the actual place of worship. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us. And there are many other concessions that Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram has given us within our deen. So this is the result of the dua that the believers made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbana la tahmil alayna wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. O Allah, our Lord, do not lay any burden upon us the way you laid burden on those who were before us. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. O Allah, do not lay burden upon us of something that we cannot do, and something that is beyond our control, beyond our power. And then, wa'fu anna waghfir lana warhamna. O Allah, pardon us, grant us your forgiveness, shower your mercy upon us. Anta maulana, you are our protector. Fansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. grant us victory over or against the disbelievers. So this is one of the best du'as that a believer can do. And when a believer reads this du'a, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in the response of every single of these du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, na'am, na'am, na'am. Yes, I have given you this. I have given you this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said, whoever recites these two verses, last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah at night before going to sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from all kinds of evil and harms until next morning. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ until the end of the Surah Al-Baqarah. So last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah itself is the, obviously it is the largest surah of the Quran, and this is the best surah for the protection against the shayateen and the evil and the jinnat and everything. But particularly these last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah are very, very important. So we should have this practice of reciting these two verses every single night before going to sleep. So the main point here in this hadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised his companions, Ridwanullahi al Majma'in, to submit their wills to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as soon as they heard the commandment of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not to say that I cannot do this, or this is difficult for me, this and that. No, rather you say, Sami'na wa ata'na. You say, we hear, we obey, and you try your best to do it. And at the same time, make dua to Allah that Allah makes it easy for you. Make dua to Allah, oh Allah, I'm trying to act upon your commandment and the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if there is any shortcoming, oh Allah, forgive me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. But if you try to find excuses and the way out, then this is something that is seen as weakness of your iman, or it can lead to hypocrisy and nifaq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to act upon the hukum and the commandment of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, and to accept the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu sami'un qareebun mujib.